Welcome to Between the Lines, where we journey beyond the surface of Scripture with hosts David and Jonathan. Get ready to deepen your faith as we uncover the hidden gems of the Bible. Without further ado, here's our show.
All right, you're here with David and Jonathan on WVFF 97.7, Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible. We're almost done with the book of Amos today. Amos is packed full of wonderful information. And if you take anything away from the book of Amos, it is that I am the Lord thy God. I made you and I demand your obedience. And that, I mean, he's the one that made you. Obviously, he made you for a purpose. The purpose was to serve and to worship him, the Almighty God. And he should demand nothing less. And right here in chapter 7 now, it's going to take right off today. Thus hath the Lord God showed unto me, and behold, he formed grasshoppers in the beginning of the shooting up of the latter growth. And lo, it was the latter growth after the king's mowings. And came to pass that when they had made an end of eating the grass of the land, then I said, O Lord God, forgive, I beseech thee, by whom shall Jacob arise? For he is small. Israel is in a very, very bad situation. They have left God. There's like 7,000 of them left out of the millions that haven't bent the knee to Baal. And God is raining down judgment. The Lord repented for this. It shall not be, saith the Lord. Thus hath the Lord God showed unto me, and behold, the Lord God called to contend by fire, and it devoured the great deep, and did eat up a part. And said I, O Lord God, cease, I beseech thee, by whom shall Jacob arise? For he is small. The Lord repented of this, for this. This also shall not be, saith the Lord God. And we see this many times during the tenure of Moses, begging God to stop the judgment. You know, God says, hey, push me too far, I'm going to wipe them out. And Moses would fall on his face and beg God, remind God of his promises. And that's what Amos is doing here. How can Jacob survive if you do this?
Making intercession.
Yes, intercession. Very important job. And said I, O Lord God, cease, I beseech thee, by whom shall Jacob arise? For he is small. The Lord repented for this. This also shall not be, saith the Lord God. Thus he showed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall made by a plumb line, a very precise wall with a plumb line in his hand. The Lord said unto me, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a plumb line. And said the Lord, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will not again pass by them any more. This is the portion where Jehovah steps back from his daily intercession in the people. He says, you know what? I have tried my hardest to be king to these people. I've shown them by great miracles that I am their God. I've tried to protect them. I've tried to bless them. I've had to punish them more than anything because they just flat out refused to follow me with all their heart, the original covenant given to Abraham. I laid the law on them, and they couldn't even follow that with their hands. I'm going to step back. I have a plan in the future. I will bring the perfect sacrifice in my son one day. I'm going to step back and just let things go until that time. And the high places of Isaac shall be desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste. And I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. Then Amahijah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos hath conspired against thee in the midst of the house of Israel. Really? Kill the messenger? Amos comes, says what God's going to do to Jeroboam. And this priest, and this shows you where the priest line is. We've talked about this on past episodes. Priest line is in depravity. They're in it for the money. Televangelists, yes, they're in it for the money. Nothing to do with God anymore. How much money? How much meat? The first choices of the meat can we get? You know, Phineas even had a brothel erected next to the tabernacle. I mean, it's a mess. And then the priest says, Jeroboam, this prophet Amos, he's conspiring against thee in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. Oh, my gosh. The word of God comes through the prophet, and the prophet is blamed for the word of God. But thus Amos said, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away captive out of their own land. Also Amijah said unto Amos, O thou seer, go flee thee away into the land of Judah, and there eat bread and prophesy there. Go, we don't want to hear God's word anymore.
Go tell them.
Yes. Over there. Go bother them.
Uh-huh.
We're fine here. I mean, the tabernacle's there, got the brothel right next to it. The priests are raking in money. I'm a priest, I'm raking in money. And you're saying bad stuff's going to happen. We don't want to hear it. Will that change anything, the fact that they don't hear it?
Yeah.
Well, they just sleep a little better at night, right?
Yeah. Just dull their conscience.
Yeah. But prophesy not again in any more in Bethel, for it is the king's chapel and is the king's court. You're really putting doom and gloom on us, buddy.
Yeah.
These things are going great here. Economy's great. We're doing... We got those, we're worshiping Baal. We got those orgies every Friday. And just things are great here. We don't want to hear about God's word anymore. It's so much easier nowadays, Christian. Just don't go to church. You know, it's not like the prophet comes to your door anymore. Then answered Amos and said to Amijah, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I am a herdsman. Then answered Amos and said to Amijah, Amaziah. Oh, I was saying that one wrong. I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was a herdsman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. You know, I don't come from a long line of prophets. God just sent me on this mission. There's nothing I could do about it.
I'm a rancher.
Yes.
More or less.
Yeah, I'm a rancher, buddy. The Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said unto me, Go, prophesy unto my children, my people Israel. Now therefore hear thou the word of the Lord. Thou sayest, prophesy not again in Israel. Drop not thy word against the house of Isaac. Therefore thus saith the Lord, thy wife shall be a harlot in the city, and thy sons and thy daughters shall fall by the sword, and thy land shall be divided by line, and thou shalt die in the polluted land, and Israel shall surely go into captivity forth of his land. So this priest just got judgment laid on him, having the audacity to tell Amos to shut his mouth and leave. We don't want to hear the word of God anymore. America, I feel like this country's in that same situation. Don't want to hear it. Church attendance is way down, you know. Christianity, people that say they're Christians, I think it's down to the 50 percentile. I mean, that used to be always in the 70s, at times higher than that. We don't want to hear the word of God. Not hearing the word of God does not change what God says. You're just ignorant when it happens. I would rather know what's going to happen and prepare for it. That's the whole idea of a prophet. That's the whole idea of your preacher behind the pulpit. Give you his best understanding. He's not a prophet. Some of them are, but preacher's going to give you his best understanding of this book. Some's better than others. And we've seen on Between the Lines, there's a whole lot of stuff in church that is not understood, and the pastors have no concept of what this book says in some situations. I mean, this is the second time mankind's been here. There were two creations of man. On the sixth day, he created male and female and told them to go and replenish the earth because God had flooded it once before. Jeremiah said so, and he put out the sun. Then you flip over to Genesis, and it says, let there be light for at least the second time. Lots of stuff in here, and if you tie the totality of the Bible together, science and the Bible go hand in hand. How much better would this world be if science and Bible go hand in hand? There'd be no doubt. Yes, there's the science. Oh, those fossils are millions of years old. That was the first age of Earth, and man was here. Then God put out the sun in his anger, and he says in Jeremiah, I know that one day my anger will cease, and I will begin again. Flip to Genesis. God said, let there be light. So on the sixth day, he created male and female. He said, go and replenish the earth. You can't replenish something if it was never there before. He would have said, go and populate the earth. And then he rested on the seventh day and sometime after that, we don't know how long, could have been hundreds of years, thousands of years, he said, there is no man to tend my garden. There were plenty of men because he made them on the sixth day. God does not lie. His book does not lie. He needed a special man, a consecrated priest. That was the Adam. Male and female, he made them and called their name Adam. And he later extracted half of Adam and made Eve. You take that rib back to the Hebrew, it infers half of the being, not just a rib.
While you're there, and the name Adam comes from Admos, which is earth.
Yes. Yeah.
That's where Adam comes from.
That's right. And God details how he made Adam, formed him of the dust of the earth, breathed life, spirit into him. He doesn't say that about those on the sixth day. You know? Where did Cain get his wife? Oh, it was one of Adam's and Eve's daughters that obviously was born. The Bible doesn't say anything about it at the time. Oh, Cain was the firstborn. And he just went out and got a wife. And then he built a city for
two people.
Him and his wife. A city.
Yep.
Not just a shack.
Future kids or something.
Yeah, your future kids. Plus, Cain says, when God places the punishment on him, he says, this is too much for me to bear. Everywhere I go, people will want to kill me.
My future kids.
Yeah, the future kids.
Maybe my wife. That's how much sense it makes.
And it's comical when you think about it.
Right.
And this is the line that we've all lived by for years. But it's all right here in this book. Catch episode one on WBFFradio.com. And you will be amazed at the things in this book. You just have to search it out. You have to study every word. You have to look at every sentence. Chapter 8, Book of Amos. Thus hath the Lord God showed unto me, and behold, a basket of summer fruit. And he said, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a basket of summer fruit. You know, God's always doing this. It's some simple object there. What do you see? And I wonder if he's thinking, oh boy, is this a trick question? I see a basket of summer fruit, Lord. And said the Lord unto me, the end is come upon my people of Israel. I will not pass again by them anymore. And this is what I told you earlier. He's done with daily interaction. He's done watching over them at this time. He's done trying to bless them. And they can only be blessed when they follow him with their heart. And he's tired of punishment because it ends up being constant punishment. It's like you, a mother or father with a bad son or daughter. They just will not straighten up no matter how many times you beat the child. You know, just doesn't work. I wear his hiney out all the time and he just does it again. God says, you know what? All right, I'm done. You guys are going to be on your own until I bring about this perfect sacrifice and make it possible for us to be together again. Because as long as the seed of the serpent is mixed in with these people and they did it themselves, you got to catch episode one to understand there were two children in Eve's womb with two different fathers. Oh, blasphemy, Pastor Dave. Pitchforks to the studio. No, it's in there. You ever wonder when God dealt out punishment in the garden, talking to the serpent? There'll be enmity between your seed and her seed. Her seed will bruise the head of your seed, and your seed will bruise the heel. The very first Christ verse in the Bible. Where did the seed of the serpent come from? And where did this serpent come from? When God turned on the lights the second time, he was already here. I bet he said, wow, this is great. The light's back on. It's been eons since the first age. I can begin to corrupt God's creation again. It's a lot of stuff in this book you've never heard. You know, we have a lot of fun here. God's word is very serious, but some of it comes across comical because how can these people see the great miracles of God and just continually turn their backs away from him? And there's one There's one thing that causes that. Because the Holy Presence is not an indwelling gift at this time. Follow me with all your heart. Some were able to mildly do that. David was one. David murdered. David committed adultery. David lied. Coveted. He went right down the Ten Commandments and tried to break them all except for the one he knew better. The first one, thou shalt have no other gods before me. David knew that because David's heart was genuinely right, following God. But he let the flesh take control.
And repented.
Yes, yes. And that's what God said later. David's heart was perfect. But God, David murdered Uriah, Bathsheba's husband. David's heart was perfect. David committed adultery with Bathsheba. But David's heart was perfect, he said, because the entire time David knew he was doing wrong. And David, the spirit man inside, had lost control and was attempting to regain control the entire time while the flesh was attempting to cover up all of his sins. That's what the flesh does. You know, you ever tell a lie, Christian, to cover up another lie? Tell a lie to cover up just a little sin in your life? Well, that will grow and grow. And that's what happened with David.
Oh, waste my breath.
It grew all the way to murder. And it wasn't just Uriah. There was a whole bunch of soldiers killed because of David's murderful acts. Put Uriah out in the forefront of the battle. And then when things are getting really hot, withdraw from him. Him and his men. We don't know how many. There was several others that were killed along with him to cover up David, the fact that David had gotten Bathsheba pregnant. But still God says, that's the point I'm trying to reiterate. Still, God says David's heart was perfect a couple chapters later.
After he repented.
Yes. Yeah. It's all about the heart. Mm-hmm. And even Saul declared war on God. But occasionally you'd see the spirit man take control of Saul's flesh and repent because the spirit man was in there struggling. And it's all because the seed of the serpent is mixed with these people. When God brought them out of Egypt, he said, go into this new land and cleanse it of all of its inhabitants. Not because God hated those people. God had been working with those people. He had covenants with those people. But he told them, I'm going to leave you in Egypt until the transgressions of those in Canaan have come and crossed the line. Apparently, he's working with them. They haven't crossed the line yet. I'm still working with them. But I know they will, as he knew these people will. Because they came in, they did not cleanse the land. They had children with all of those mixed with the seed of the serpent. Episode 1, WVFFradio.com, you'll understand. And we all struggle with it today because we're all mixed with it now. It's that battle that goes on inside you. I know what's right to do, Paul said, but I find myself not doing it. And the whole time I'm arguing with myself inside. Who is this myself that you're arguing with? It's the mind of this body. The Bible says it's contrary to the will of God. There is where your seed of the serpent resides. The spirit is in the heart. God says, I place the spirit in the heart of man. And its sole purpose is to gain control of this carnal mind that has the seed of the serpent in it. And you must control this flesh, this abominable flesh, and guide it down the narrow path. You cannot do that unless you take all things in moderation, all pleasures in moderation. God never meant you to go through life and not have any pleasure. See all those old movies with those Puritans and all? It was like pleasure was not allowed in the life. God never meant that. Look at David. David danced before the Lord, had great parties, you know, drank wine, had many wives. There was nothing. Paul says there's nothing illegal for the Christian, but some things aren't good for the Christian. And he also says that things are not good in the Christian for the Christian in excess. Solomon became so excessive with all of life's pleasures that his heart lost control. And the mind of Solomon took over the flesh. The flesh took control because of Solomon's excess. You got to push back from that fried chicken, Christian. That is the gateway drug, food. Excess food is the gateway drug to spiritual sleepiness. Put your spirit to sleep. Give this body more than it needs, and it'll get lazy, not just physically, but spiritually. The mind will, oh, I'm tired. Yeah, I'm only going to pray for 30 seconds tonight. I've had a long day. I'm full. I'm sleepy. And then, you know what? After a while, the spirit man is just snoozing, and the flesh is in full control. Verse 3, chapter 8, and the songs of the temple shall be howlings in that day, saith the Lord God. There shall be many dead bodies in every place. They shall cast them forth with silence. Hear this, O ye that swallow up the needy, even to make the poor of the land to fail.
Elites.
Yes, go ahead.
The elites of the
yes,
land.
Yes, yes. Beware, rich man.
Yes.
And that's what this priest was just telling him earlier. Yeah, shut up and go prophesy over there.
Yeah.
We're doing great here. The economy's good and the king is happy.
Mm-hmm.
And the temple is raking in the dough, man. Hear this, O ye that swallow up the needy, even to make the poor of the land fail, saying, when will the new moon be gone? And we may sell corn in the Sabbath, that we may set forth wheat, making the epeth small and the shekel great, and falsifying the balance by deceit. Ah, selling smaller and smaller amounts for greater and greater amounts of money.
Loading the scales.
Yes.
Fixing the scales. More or less.
Got them ceramic scales in place of the brass ones.
Yeah.
That we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of shoes. Yea, and sell the refuse of the wheat. Wow, that's the part they used to throw away.
We'll be back with more spiritual insights on Between the Lines after a brief message from our sponsors. Stay tuned.